Welcome to Rewilding Love. This season is with a couple on the brink of divorce.
This is episode 12, part 2 of key relationship takeaways.
The non-neutral, kind of psychotic, like yeah. Smile on your face, but really raging inside.
Where they are now is flabbergasting. I haven't used that word for probably, I don't know if I've ever used that word, but I'm using it now. I am flabbergasted.
There's no magic bullet.
We've been given such a blessing. I feel like everybody should go through this process, whether they have an issue or not.
It's innate within me to be prepared.
The force is strong in this one. Does that make me Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda?
That's what happens when we spend more time experiencing our true nature, allowing ourselves to be rewilded by it. We get into the feeling of well-being and those deeper feelings of love and compassion, and anything that's not that all of a sudden becomes a whole lot less tolerable to us.
They are baby rewilders, and we have put on their baby harness. They're going out into the big wide world.
Everybody goes through marital issues. Everybody goes through relationship issues. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important to kind of course correct yeah. and realize like where you are going wrong. And I think if this can help even one person, I think it's done its job tenfold.
You are listening to Rewilding Love with me, Angus Ross.
And me, Rohini Ross.
Rewilding Love is a podcast about relationships.
We believe that love never disappears completely in relationships. It can always be rewilded. Listen in as we guide a real couple back to their natural state of love.
Relax and enjoy the show.
We're excited to let you know that we're going to be doing some Ask Anything podcast episodes. And so we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions about the podcast, about relationships in general, or any other questions that you'd like us to answer. We'd love for you to send them in. And so you can send them in via email to info@therewilders.org. Or if you'd like to send in your question anonymously, you can call your question in to 424-272-6497. That's 424-272-6497. In this episode, we're going to continue listening to the learnings that Alicia and Mateo are taking home with them. And we're going to start off with Mateo's question.
When you realize, right, that your partner is acting this way,
yeah.
that is not neutral but wants to have this conversation, I'm guilty of it as well.
Yeah, we
how
all
does
are.
The other one supposed to tell them without being condescending, like, hey, I don't control your remote, right? Like, how can we kind of be
point.
Like, hey, let's, because, I mean, she does it to me too. It's, you know, we're like, hey, you know, I see that you're angry. Why don't we talk about this later? But it's like, no, I got to get this out
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah.
How do we set the boundary where it's conducive to the actual conversation to not have it in that moment and have it later on.
Well, why don't you talk about this now? Like, rather than us tell you how to do it, like, what makes, like, based on what you know, like, okay, if that situation's happening, she's in a stirred up state of mind, it's temporary, but she's crazy in that moment, or if it was the other way, you're crazy in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So one of you is temporarily insane, acting and behaving badly. The other person in this scenario hasn't lost their mind yet, which is good, and is like, oh boy, what do I do in the face of somebody that's doing that? Like, based on what you understand about it's temporary, she's going to come back to her senses, what makes sense to you?
I don't know, because it sounds really good just to be like, hey, you know, why don't we take a break from this? But, you know, the narrative I already have built up in my head is, tried that and sometimes it doesn't work out as well. Sometimes it really does, but other times it's like, hey, yeah, I'm really calm, but I'm still really pissed off, and I'm going to show you that I'm pissed off, right?
Yeah, and that's the non-neutral.
That's like the non-neutral kind of psychotic, like
yeah.
smile on your face, but really raging inside.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh God, right?
yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how we both don't run into that situation where it's like, hey, I can totally tell that you're scrambled. Why don't we, but I also don't want to say that and, you know, Triggered, like, oh my God, he's just using this, or she's just using this as a way to not have this conversation right now.
Can I say something? Okay. Because I know what you were getting at. In a sense, you were asking for like an improvisational moment where you would actually try it on for size. Like, in this moment, what do you think your wisdom would be prompting you to do if faced with that situation?
Well, I'm really hopeful it's not going to happen.
Well, it's probably going to happen.
I just don't want not even a narrative at this moment, but I don't want what has taken place in the past to occur.
Yeah, so can I just say, one of the things that occurs to me is that if you keep it to your experience, so you don't even need to talk about the other person, because that is when someone is upset. Like, if I say to Angus, are you in a low mood? And he's in a low mood. He's like, I'm not in a low mood. You know, it's like, that's the typical answer. And the same for me if it happens my way. So it's like, that's not a good route to go. Absolutely. But if you're speaking to your own experience, it's like, if Angus is in a low mood and I'm getting, like, if I'm totally fine, I won't even need to say anything about it. But if he's really angry and upset and I'm starting to get destabilized because I can't, you know, I'm not able to handle it, then I can just speak to that. It's like, I'm not able to handle that, right? Like, I need to go settle my mind. I'm not feeling okay. So it doesn't have to be anything to do with him. It could be all to do with, I'm taking care of myself and sorry, I'm not able to have this conversation now. I'm just not, it's not going to go well. And it's like, but I want to have it now. I can't believe you're walking away. Not that he would say that. I would probably be the one saying that to him. It would be like, yeah, well, you know that she's going to stabilize. She's lost her mind. You can't take what she's saying seriously.
I think it's also...
scary. Oh, I feel like it's going to happen, like, in a cartoon, right? Like, you know...
But you're making a narrative.
Right, no, I know, but this is, like, the cartoon version of how it works. It's like, hey, she's freaking out, yelling around. I'm like, hey, I understand. Let me go away for a little bit and let me, like... allow me to get away so that we can both be in a neutral mood, right? I close the door and there's knives.
No.
Right? That's the cartoon version. Not a professional knife thrower, obviously. Yeah. The person in the cartoon does that.
Get it.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of one of those things. I think we both have been now awakened to this higher power of mind and recognizing these little triggers.
Yeah.
I think that both of us did not know that at all previous to coming into this. So I think that's something that now we'll both be a little bit more aware of. I think also potentially the approach could be like, maybe in the sense of like, you know what, I do want to have this conversation, but I'm not in a good mood right now. So maybe we revisit this in like a different portion. Because if you're making me upset, or, well, you can't do that, but...
If you think he is in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I'm starting to get stirred up by whatever you're doing, I could just be like, you know what? I'm in a really bad mood, but I do want to talk to you about this, but let me go take him out or something. Mm-hmm. Something in those lines. That way we bring back a neutral state where then, like, whatever you're doing is just making me like, but you're not. But it's now me and my thoughts. I have to just be like, okay, I'm going to peace for a second and go watch Housewives or something and then, like, destabilize my mind.
That's the wrong
thing. Watch it with the headphones on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm more feeling, my feelings of trepidation come when it's, you're going to be having a mood and I notice that you're not pulling away from the current state and I want to, and... you know, you get angry at me, like when I say, you know, like I hear you, like I understand what you're saying. No, I know what you're doing to me. You know, you say you hear me, but you never, right? Like I'm trying to avoid escalation of the situation. And I do many times, you know, say, hey, we're probably not the best right now to have these conversations yet. Keeps pushing to have those conversations. I've been using the phrase like poking the Buddha. Like I'm trying to be very neutral and be like, you know, I don't want to do this. And it's not being dismissive. For me, it's more, let's have the conversation when, you know, we're both even keel, right? And I try to back out of it. And it's not backing out like I want to run away, but it's backing out like, hey, I understand right now the conversation is probably not the best time to be had.
Yeah.
And I just don't want you to get upset when, you know, I do pull away in those moments. And I don't want you to think that I'm just running away from my problems. It's running away from the intensity of the problem when I know it can be handled at a different level.
I completely agree with you. I think that privy to this, like, I was not open to that. And when we went through, you know, premarital counseling before we got married, one of the things that, like, was told us, like, say that I hear you or I understand you. And, like, that to me was a trigger because I'm like, are you really listening to me?
Yeah,
and
it's fake.
It's, yeah, no, it's, like, fake. And so I think now my mind is a little bit more open and more accepting to perhaps the way you approach that this time around. Because now that I understand that how my mind kind of works and the complexities of it, is that I'm already just listening to noise but trying to be neutral and it's not really working.
Not working.
Yeah. And so what we have discussed is just like when I go through that, like remember that I'm overthinking, remember that I'm being crazy, and just take your hands off the wheel and just be like, all right, you know, you got a point. Let's discuss this later. And let's discuss this in a more neutral state of mind because I am upset right now and I'm getting angered by whatever and I'm allowing those angered feelings to come through. So it's going to be, like we said, it's a learning curve and it's going to be practice and there's going to be slip ups and there's going to be moments, but to try to reel it back as quickly as possible to bounce back in a positive state, I think is going to be the most positive way that we grow and build on it.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that you didn't see this before. You didn't see the wisdom
in
his way of doing it before. Now
you
see that, oh, actually, that's a good idea. So that means far more of the time she's going to be like, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But not always. So I want to point that out. Not always. And what I would say, if you still have the wisdom to step back, even though she doesn't like it, step back. She will be fine.
This is a big concern of Mateo's, and he brings it up several times in a few different ways. And he's really not trusting that Alicia has seen something that's going to shift her behavior. And he's also not trusting himself that he's going to be able to access his own wisdom in the moment. And so here he is again looking for the how-to guide.
Yes, it didn't take long for the need for the how-to guide to be demanded. It's obviously, thinking about his experience leading up to this point, I think he's probably used that very technique, if you like. It's been weaponized in a way where he's probably used it to his advantage. So if he doesn't like what he's hearing or like how Alicia's showing up, then he kind of gets to batten down the hatches, but still be in a place of righteousness and judgment. So it's going to be a whole different ballgame to be able to see it from a vantage point where he can suggest that neutrally rather than it be a case of like, you know, I'm not talking to you now. And it be more of an FU rather than a case of just looking after himself or looking after her too. It's like if he can get to a place of compassion and see that she's suffering, that's what's key, and not take that personally, then he can withdraw. But if it's a case of like, no, you've lost the plot, and he has a lot of judgment for that she's going to feel that in no uncertain terms. And probably, I imagine there have been many a situation in the past where that's been the dynamic that's played out.
Yeah, that's a really important point about the judgment, because our partners can feel that judgment and it doesn't typically go well if they're having a hard time. But most importantly, we're the ones suffering when we're identifying with our judgmental thoughts. We're creating suffering for ourselves. So it doesn't help the relationship, but it also doesn't do us any good either.
Exactly. And I think if he's coming from that place of judgment, and I imagine, I don't know, I have a sneaking suspicion that the general dynamic would be, oh, you've lost the plot here. I've got the higher ground. And I'm going to walk away, probably inflames the situation in no uncertain terms. Whereas he's coming from a place of understanding, of compassion, can see that she's caught up and suffering, then she'll have an entirely different experience. They both will.
Absolutely. Well, let's see where he gets to.
Yeah, I just don't want anything, you know, hurtful being said in those moments when I'm walking out the door to go take the dog out and, like, take a break. Because, like I said, a lot of hurtful stuff gets, like, hurled around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not what we're here for, is,
right,
you know, to be okay with the barrage of insults and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just want it to be okay. And I'm really excited, but I'm also very afraid. I mean, I shouldn't be, right? Because nothing's occurred yet, but talking about this, you know, losing the tolerance, right? This tolerance that you've built up, and it becomes more intense because you lose the tolerance. I'm kind of like, oh shit, like if we've built the tolerance for the past like 7 years and, you know, we remove that tolerance, and I know what has taken place in the past, like God knows what's going to happen, you know?
Well, but the tolerance is not that you've lost your tolerance for her behavior. It's actually you've lost the tolerance for your own stirred up mind. So in that situation, it's quite possible that if you're really, you know, not buying into your narrative, not in your story, that she could be doing her thing and you could be feeling like, yeah, it's a good idea to leave, but you're not even necessarily upset by it because you're not taking it personally. You see like, oh, she's really just not okay right now. She's suffering and her behavior's got nothing to do with me. It's a reflection of her suffering in this moment. She's not always gonna be suffering. And so you go walk the dog and she's doing whatever she's doing, but when it's not taken personally, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. So I'm not, and I was really clear with her that I was not about condoning bad behavior. So Angus and I are not here to, you know, say it's a free-for-all. We absolutely encourage each of you to be your best selves, which means to not behave badly. But we also are aware that at times, and my sense is based on what you both seen, that will be a lot less frequently. But at times, we're not perfect. We behave badly. I make mistakes. She's going to make mistakes, you're going to make mistakes, that's life. But with this understanding, it actually has less impact because the more that you can see your suffering comes from, it's not what she's saying, it's what you're doing with your head with what she's saying, mm-hmm. right? So if Angus calls me a bitch, he doesn't call me a bitch, but let's say he was to call me a bitch.
Sometimes I think it.
He might think he should say it. But let's say he says it. If I'm in a really good state of mind, I'll be like, oh, what's going on with him that he's so stirred up? Like, it wouldn't even hurt. If I'm in a bad state of mind, he could say something nice to me and I'd, you know, be off to the races. Like, I can't believe you said that. But it's all about my state of mind. It's got nothing to do with his behavior. And this is where this understanding had a huge impact on me because I used to be super sensitive to his irritability and anger, and I would take it very personally, and it would just be this escalation because he might be a little irritated, but I would take it personally, and that would escalate, and then he would escalate, and then I would escalate, and then, you know, we're off to the races. But what happened when I saw this for myself the first time is I realized, like, oh, I don't feel him. Mm-hmm. I feel my own thinking. And it's not like he's doing something to me. It's I'm, like you said, I'm doing this to myself. And in that sort of taking the pressure off, I just dropped into a more stable state inside of myself. And so the next time that he, you know, got mad at me over something, it wasn't that knee-jerk reaction of like, I can't believe you're getting mad at me. It was like, oh, he's not okay. Like, it wasn't anything to do with me. It's like, oh, he's just not okay in this moment. And I can't remember what I said to you, but I said something that was really different. And you're like, what the hell's going on with her? But it was like it changes the experience because you see it more clearly. It's like you see her state of mind. And when you see it's her state of mind, it's not personal anymore.
Okay.
Like she's suffering. If she's, and this is hypothetical, I'm not giving you permission to behave badly, but if she's behaving badly and you just see it's her state of mind and she's suffering, it's got nothing to do with you, not that you have to stay there and, you know, be on the receiving end of it, but you don't feel bad because I felt compassion. He was yelling at me and I felt compassion for him. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he's not okay right now. Because that's not her natural state. That's not how she is, unless she's kind of losing her mind in that moment.
Yes. So he's already talked about doing risk analysis for a living. And you can start to see where he's already starting to turn over in his mind all of the possible scenarios that he might have to face in the future based on experiences and, you know, that he can drum up from the past. So I guess that's where, is that where the mistrust lies? Is it, or is it just, that's just how his mind works? That's just how he lives and operates, looking at from the risk analysis vantage point. So I guess you can see where he's not willing to fully trust it yet. He's seen something for sure. But it is a little bit, I guess it's hard to not to, for me to be a little bit disappointed based on the insight that really has just unfolded, that he's already now starting to question it. But that's just maybe how his mind, you know, works and operates.
Well, that's the learning curve. Like we said, there's no magic bullet. He's going to have that insight be revealed to him over time, and it will deepen and expand. And you're right, he's gone back into his default mode and is trying to figure things out ahead of time. And it's coming from a good place. He wants it to work out. He's just feeling insecure. And he's going to what he's familiar with, which is his intellect, to try and figure that out.
Yeah. And he wants to weigh, he wants to really come away with, this is all done and dusted. This is behind us now. We're good to go. And it's more a case of like, you know, we've just given you maybe some pointers in terms of how to live your life in a more effective way, where challenges will emerge. And we're just giving you the technology, if you like, to be able to weather those storms as and when they appear.
Yeah, more gracefully.
More gracefully, yeah.
And I want to emphasize that the point that I was making here is not a point that is condoning hurtful or abusive behavior. I do believe that when we see that the person who is behaving in a hurtful way, when we see that it's their state of mind and that it's not personal, that that is incredibly liberating and empowering and helpful. And that's been my personal experience, because I used to be so hurt by your behavior, and your anger was something that I took very personally. And so when I was able to recognize that that was just a reflection of your state of mind, that was really liberating for me. But I want to emphasize that we're never going to say that somebody needs to stay in a situation where the partner is behaving in hurtful ways, that's the decision of the person in the relationship. And what I'll also say is that when we're able to not take it personally, I think it's easier for people to have clarity on what the right action is, what the most self-honoring choice is. And if that is to leave the relationship, that will be a whole lot more clear understanding what's really at play. And so Mateo is still in his questioning mode.
What do you do when you know that someone's faking being in a leveled-headed?
Yeah, you someone can smell can, it out, yeah.
I mean, you could be very psycho and have a smile and be like, yeah, I'm definitely okay, right? And we reach those moments and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and you can just say, like, you know, I'm not ready. I want to acknowledge she has a whole different appreciation, because we talked about neutral. It's funny, mm-hmm. We talked about this, and we talked about how we can think we're neutral and we're nowhere near neutral. Yeah. So she's going to be getting better at being honest with herself about what neutral is, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's just you getting more clear, like, oh, I thought I was neutral, but I wasn't neutral.
Right.
So that's her learning curve too. So everything that you're have concerns about, she's had insights about. We've talked about these specific things, mm-hmm. without even you having to say that. We've addressed them, and she's seeing something differently. I'm not making this up. So she's like recognizing, like, oh, maybe I thought I was neutral, but I wasn't neutral. And like we've talked about, what does neutral really feel like? How do you know when you're neutral? So mm-hmm. she's got more of a sense of that. We've talked about how it does make sense to stop the conversation when one of you is destabilized. And it's a good thing to do, because it's just a reflection of bad state of mind. And only thing that's going to happen is escalation from there. Right. So there was no argument on any of those things. Like, she completely saw the logic in it. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to her.
Because nothing gets accomplished.
Right. So, but nothing you're changes. Seeing it yeah. differently. So yeah. before you've been like, wait, you know, like.
I was like, I want to nip it in the butt.
Exactly. So now it's like, well, different reaction.
It's nip it in the bud. That's when you're like cutting plants. It's okay. I just learned an email the other day.
Okay.
I wrote it to someone. I'm like, I just want to nip this in the butt. They're like, it's bud. Like, yeah, I get what you mean.
So it probably is nip it in the butt in England.
Yeah.
But also, I want to say, throw into that equation that we talked at length about, you know, there's nothing that you can do really to make you suffer. It's only your own thinking.
Right.
So
The combination,
put all that together, we should be hopefully moving in a very good direction.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm really excited. Like, you know, like I said before, I like having, you know, I read directions, right? I want to know how to put something together. I want to know steps, you know, 1 through 10. And I know that's also not, right, that's also a different narrative that you're building inside your mind, but it's innate within me to be prepared.
Exactly. That's it. And that's why it's not really about us telling you what to do, even though we've given examples. It's about you seeing that you have that innate knowing that it's going to be right there in the moment. And when you have a certain level of understanding, that knowing matches that understanding. So you knew all along that it wasn't good to engage from that place. So that's not going to go away, but you're also going to have more understanding now about how to not take her behavior personally.
Well, it's like
I just see it playing out where she's tripping and I'm on the couch like, is she gonna realize she's not, you know, neutral? And then she's gonna look at me and just laugh.
Well, he finally got there in the end where he saw that it's innate within him to be prepared. Like he all of a sudden realized that he has it within himself. And I think that's great.
Yeah, the force is strong in this one. I get. Does that make me Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda? I don't know.
Yoda might be above your pay grade.
Yeah, probably more Jabba the Hutt.
That's terrible.
No,
you're my Luke Skywalker.
Oh well, thank you. Yeah, well, you're my Prince Leia any day of the week. Well, I think what for me is so prevalent now is there's the levity that obviously is very apparent, and that there's this beautiful feeling between them, and we get to witness them kind of joking around with each other in a way where there is a lot of profundity in that joking around. They've obviously seen something and can see how this can work, and I think that, you know, let's hope this becomes this wonderful reference point for them moving forward, that they can get along. Who knew?
Yeah, that's right. Well, so now we're going to have a little story time with Angus.
Oh.
Can I tell the story about when I came back from the you did your mentorship with the Pranskys? But I basically spent 4 days having these kind of conversations, being told about, you know, how she can't be responsible for anything that you feel inside, that's all down to you. And I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of simple, but that's not really how it works. But something was progressively landing over those 4 days. But I couldn't kind of put my finger on it, although George, our mentor, would say that I saw something in the first session. That kind of feels a little bit like hyperbole to me, but I think he probably was right. I think I wasn't really that conscious of what was going on. I was hearing something, but at a different level that I could grasp a hold of with my intellect. So anyway, we got back home. We were home for a week, and we were just getting on like a house on fire. Everything was just beautiful. We were just getting on so well, so perfectly connected in my mind. It was just great. Our marriage had not been in such a good place for as long as I could remember. And then I think it was on maybe the second week, there was one day in something, I don't know, I was probably in a really low mood. You were probably too in a low mood. It was the perfect storm. And I just the shit really hit the fan in no uncertain terms. And I just like got more and more escalated. And it got to this point where it started in the afternoon, it went on into the evening, we went to bed. We'd slept on it, we hadn't made up, and then I wake up in the morning, I'm testing the water, we're still in the same place, and I thought, oh, this sucks. And I remember going into the kitchen, and I'm just about to leave to go to work, and then I thought, oh, I'm going to go back in, I'm going to have, you know, my last, because I'm a bit of a last word freak, I'm going to go in and have my say, and I'm really angry, but I kind of scripted in my mind what I was going to say to her. So I remember going to the foot of the bed and just like started delivering all this vitriol about how, look what we're doing, like, you know, you invested all this money in more psychological snake oil and we're in exactly the same place. We're like, and literally as I started to articulate, you know, what I wanted to say, I just suddenly had this sort of really weird out of the body experience. It's the only way I can describe it, where I'm just like, this just, I just suddenly realized I can't even remember how this started. I can't even remember what we're fighting about, but yet here I am, there's my body. I'm looking at me, just spewing out all this vomit on my wife. And it just felt, first of all, it felt nonsensical. And then I kind of like, it just felt just totally, it just felt just completely, I don't know how to even define it. It just felt wrong. It just didn't sit, just didn't sit right with me. It was so much the antithesis of my well-being. It was almost like I suddenly took the needle off the record, was looking at it from the perspective of this understanding and a feeling of well-being, and just seeing this total arsehole vomiting all over his wife. And I just spontaneously burst into tears. It was really weird. So it reminded me what you were saying, like, she might laugh in that situation, but in a sense that might happen. For me, it was just like, I just suddenly just saw how ridiculous it was. And I think what came up for me was just this sort of overwhelming sense of sadness that here's a woman that I really love and I'm just behaving like a total dick based on this really crazy narrative that I've built up, which I can't even remember why it's It was nuts. So that's perfectly possible.
Well, that was one of the defining moments in our relationship where, in the heat of the moment, all of a sudden you connected with your own conscience and everything shifted. And I had no idea what was going on for you. But I think that that's what happens when we spend more time experiencing our true nature, allowing ourselves to be rewilded by it. We get into the feeling of well-being and those deeper feelings of love and compassion. And anything that's not that all of a sudden becomes a whole lot less tolerable to us. And it's much easier to drop back into that experience of well-being and look at that behavior, like you said, from a vantage point, like you're outside of yourself, and realize just the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah, listening to me retell that story, which I have told 1,000 times now, it never gets old for me. And it does, you know, I use that metaphor of taking the needle off the record, which apart from anything else, I guess that shows my age.
Record players are cool now.
I guess record players are cool. So I'm quite the hipster, really.
That's right.
It did feel like that. And I guess it was as if I'd stumbled into a higher level of consciousness and found myself really looking down on this crazy person screaming at their wife. And it just felt completely out of sync with my essential nature. That's the best way to describe it. And not necessarily being that cognizant of it at the time, but that's what was going down. I was stepping into the reality of who I really am at my core. And that was really not this nutcase who's got really consumed by some deep groove of habitual thinking about how I'm supposed to react in these situations, which is kind of like the deep grooves of my own record, my own disc, if you like. And so it's very apropos that metaphor of pulling the needle off the record, because that's just not who I am from that state. And I guess hopefully it can be defined as a state of higher consciousness. I can pull that needle off the record.
And we all can. I think that's what's really hopeful and important for everybody to see, is that we're not limited by our conditioned thinking, that we have the capacity to zoom out, get perspective on it. And the way that we do that is we connect more deeply with our impersonal nature. We allow ourselves to drop out of our personal thinking and drop into that deeper part of ourselves that has a different vantage point.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And that's what Matteo is doing here in this next segment.
Am every time you bring up trying to plan something, it's like, oh my God, this guy. Well, it's because we probably had one instance in the past where you asked me a question and I knew that you were anchoring that question with, what is the state of our relationship, right? Mm. So every time then you ask me, hey, let's go do something, or would you like to go here? I'm like, oh my God, she's trying to figure out what the state of our relationship is. She's anchoring these questions to figure out, hey, is he willing to do this thing with me in the future, knowing where our relationship is right now? When in actuality, you could have just been asking me, do you want to go to Italy at some point, right?
Yes, so, that's exactly what
and,
it was.
And yeah, there probably was a mixture of those, but me approaching and following the narrative that every time you ask me you want to do something and thinking directly into that and falling back into that tunnel, this is probably not good at all, right?
Because yeah.
then it's like, then there's like this fear on your end of like, God, I hope I can ask him what he wants for dinner, because fuck, that's a future plan, right?
That's exactly what it became.
Right? So then I also created this this feeling for you that you had to walk on eggshells, but it was mostly in my head that I used this one instance where like you used a question to anchor the state of our well-being and our relationship, and I just I mm-hmm. used that one narrative across everything now, right? So,
so
I'm getting rid of that. Yeah. Trust me, it's gone. I don't want to go anywhere there. Sure, whatever. So I definitely want to apologize for that, because that's,
you know,
something that I know really weighed heavily on her. She's like, fuck, I can't ask this guy if he wants to go anywhere. Like, you know,
so
even on my birthday, she's like, hey, can I make reservations? Don't ask me about reservations right now, right? It's like work. So for me, I mean, now one instance, it was like, hey, I don't know what time I'm getting off work. But at the same time, you know, I still felt that whatever answer I gave you, it was going to be an anchoring question to the state of our relationship. And I did want to apologize for that, because it did create a lot of shit in our relationship.
Yeah.
That created just a shit show.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big part of my fault for sure.
So for the benefit of the listener, I think it would be worthwhile to maybe take a look at what he means by these anchoring questions, because I remember being confused by this at the time. So my understanding is that these anchoring questions vis-a-vis, I don't know, let's use the example of like, what are we going to do for dinner tonight? Or what are we going to do on your birthday? Somehow suggests that she is looking for a descriptor of their relationship in respect to whatever answer he's going to give. I don't know. I'd love to get your feedback on that, because I feel like I want a little bit more clarification around that too.
Well, what I think he's saying is that Elise, you would ask him these questions as a fishing expedition to see if he was going to be with her on his birthday. And so if she asked him, would you like to go to Italy, it was a fishing expedition to see if he was going to say yes, because then that would mean he would stay with her and go to Italy together.
Well, he should have said fishing. Shouldn't be talking about dropping anchor.
I think he felt anchored by the questions.
Oh, well, like, I think he should have maybe, it should be more of a ball and chain put around his neck.
Yes, I think that's what he meant.
Right. So I was confused by that metaphor. Anyway, well, thank you.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Is there anything else you want to say?
I think we can move on from there.
Well, I do want to comment on the fact that he connected with his conscience, and he actually felt empathy for Alicia and recognized that because of how he was behaving, that she felt like she had to walk on eggshells around him because she didn't know what she could ask him, what was okay, what wasn't okay. So for me, that was really significant that he had opened up in that way to have empathy for her.
Yeah, and it was a very touching moment. And it also, I realized that in one of our sessions, he actually asked me if he should apologize. And I didn't want to find myself in a situation where I was leading the witness. I felt like this is something that needs to show up organically. So I remember prompting him to just to be followed by his wisdom. And if that feels appropriate, then absolutely. But I certainly didn't encourage him to do that. So it did show up organically, and it showed up in a really beautiful way. So it was really wonderful to witness that.
Yeah, it was.
mean, I think that's the source of our problems, right?
Yeah.
We're creating this narrative. Maybe a piece of it is from truth, but we're now elongating this story to consume of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the issue is that along with that narrative becomes, there comes along a physiology.
Mm-hmm.
It comes a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That can actually, you know, lead to health issues and all kinds of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Things that are detrimental to our well-being.
Yeah, so being able to see kind of the universal nature of what we're talking about helps with everything. Helps with anxiety, like we talked about anxiety, mm-hmm. Helps with depression, helps with communication. It, like, there's not one area of life where we don't feel our thinking. So, of course, this understanding is going to be applicable across the board. You're both saying, like, we got to go live our life now and see mm-hmm. how this lands and see what sticks. And the follow-up sessions are really there to help you integrate what you've seen and make sure that it's landing and sticking in day-to-day life. If you're struggling or, you know, if you're having a hard time, you have our email. So just reach out.
Absolutely.
Don't wait. If you're having, if something goes wrong and you're like, well, that was a waste of time, like reach out before, because it's usually just a little course correction that's needed. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I don't want you to feel like, oh, let's wait and save that for 2 weeks.
It's really weird. I don't even think how that could even happen. Right now.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
My goodness me, what a far cry from that very first session where they were completely polarized. Tim now saying, I can't imagine there being any problems from here on out, or words to that effect. That's extraordinary. And obviously, we've done our best to caution him in that respect. That's not particularly likely, but how beautiful that there has been this 180, and that you know, I mean, the divorce papers were drawn up, and look where we are now. I'm sure in his wildest dreams he couldn't imagine himself being in this place, in this mindset, at this point.
Yeah, there's a really beautiful space that they've dropped into, and we talk about that a little bit more in this next section.
Yeah. They took the needle off the record.
I'm struck by this. Seems like there's a really good feeling between yeah. you guys now. And I think that's the sweet spot. You know, once we recognize that good feeling and we live our lives from that place, everything just looks so much better.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why we got together and why we've stuck with mm-hmm. each other, even through all the turbulence.
It's, yeah.
You know, we've been wanting that taste of that, like, oh my God, you know, like, this is the person. There's glimpses of that, but I think this this way we can actually, this can be the norm,
yeah.
right? Not those glimpses. It can
exactly.
be the norm.
And exactly.
The bullshit can become those glimpses
exactly.
where it's like, ah, who cares, right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but
yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I love that. It's just a flip. It's like this becomes a norm, and yeah, there's a little bit of bullshit. That's part of being human. We're all human. We're not
yeah.
perfect. And it's like, yeah, I can roll with that.
Yeah, yeah. Super
I mean,
excited.
I know I'm super, like, excited now, and I feel like I told you last night, like, I feel like we've been given such a blessing, like, that
yeah.
I feel like everybody should go through this process, whether they have an issue or not, because not only do you get a sounder, like, feeling of yourself and knowing yourself, but then how to even deal with everybody in your life, and then how to just make your household alone just its happy part, and know that there's going to be issues at mm-hmm. times, but it doesn't have to be that, and you can just be excited and be newlyweds for forever in a sense.
Yeah.
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 There's going to be issues, but you don't have to create a long life narrative around that one issue. And yeah, you don't have to be in a relationship to go through it. It sounds so easy and something that you should teach in school.
Yes,
I said that.
Yeah.
Because there
I mean,
are people doing that.
There's a lot of mental health that could probably be corrected
yes.
or even avoided
yes.
by this type of approach to life. And it's just fuck. What if I learned this 15 years ago? Like,
yeah.
what would life be
oh
like? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
We all be
like, Jesus. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Imagine a kid like that's 15 years old who gets to go through this and goes to college without this negative narrative that he's building up in his mind. Imagine like what could be achieved. It's just like, whoa. What happened?
Yeah.
No, it's very cool.
I don't know which one of you used the word innocence, but I think that's kind of key in a sense, is if you actually think about kids, young kids, they have their moments of imbalance and they get all upset, and then like 2 seconds later they're like back in well-being.
Like,
you don't take anything personally or anything seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow that kind of gets programmed differently, you know, as we go through our process of adolescence
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
I think we're so conditioned to things, like we had discussed, like you're conditioned to think negatively sometimes, you're conditioned to think that things are going wrong when they're actually not.
Well, I guess what's really wonderful here is that is how they're excited to see how what they've learned in this experience is going to be beneficial to them in all other areas of their lives.
Yeah, it's really powerful when people can generalize and start putting the dots together for themselves. That's one of the signs that I look for to see if they're integrating what's being shared, that they're now making references to see how it will help in all relationships, not just their relationship. And I think that's what we've been pointing to throughout this whole podcast, not just to them, but to everyone who's listening, is that there is that space within of wisdom, of intuition, of knowing that we all have accessible and available to us. But what happens is we get caught up in our personal thinking and in the stories that we've created and the conditioned, limited thoughts of our mind, and we forget to listen to that deeper place within ourselves. And that's what we're pointing to in terms of the rewilding, to allow ourselves to listen deeply and to let that flourish within us.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is the greatest validation that this is all working, is they start to see it in those terms in a very universal way.
Absolutely.
We're going to take segments and put it together in a podcast format so that more people can
mm-hmm.
learn this understanding and so that less people suffer. So really very grateful
so
that you're
grateful.
Willing to participate.
We are very grateful.
I'm more grateful than you guys are grateful.
Yeah.
We can measure that.
Yeah. No, thank you. Because this, you know, like you're saying, we want to make a difference in the world. And this is one of the ways that we can only work with a certain number of people, but this is how we can impact more lives and in a way that's free and, you know.
Yeah,
just
thanks for being so willing and so open.
Yeah.
That's
really awesome and beautiful.
One of the things that I said from the start is if it can help other people not go through what we went through or help correct it, like I'm so willing to do so because I feel like everybody goes through marital issues.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes through relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important to kind of course correct and realize like where you are going wrong. And I think if this can help even one person, I think it's done its job tenfold.
And I think it will. And I don't think any person needs to be in a relationship or anything. It's just, it's our innate, it's within us to protect ourselves, which is create stories of knowing how to handle the mugger,
right?
Walking behind you and all these different things. And that does affect people's lives and just being able to release, you know, any preconceived notions or, you know, playouts that you've created in your mind, I think is just very blissful.
Freeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Liberating.
Yeah.
There you go.
It would be easy to think that we have reached that Hollywood ending, the sentimental ending that I always wanted. But we're not done yet. Maybe it's more of a mini series rather than a movie where everything is very tightly wrapped up at the end, because we haven't got to that point yet. But nevertheless, I don't really want to finish here without saying how incredible it is in terms of where they have come to and what they've seen and all that they have learned, and this beautiful feeling that they've really found themselves in a very short period of time. When you consider that feeling has not been part of the equation, probably for many months, borne out by the fact that divorce papers were drawn up and there was really little room for recovery as far as they could see it, or as far as Matea could see it anyway, where they are now is just flabbergasting. I haven't used that word for probably, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever used that word, but I'm using it now. I am flabbergasted.
Well, I too want to acknowledge them, because where they got to really demonstrates their willingness, their clarity of intention, their open-mindedness, their open-heartedness. They really showed up authentically, honestly, and were open to having a shift. And it was really beautifully demonstrated in what they shared.
Yeah, and I guess now it's kind of like, as we see it, they are baby rewilders, and we have put on their baby harness. They're going out into the big wide world, and we're going to be there to reel them in from time to time, because inevitably they are going to have challenges. I think it's easy to sort of get caught up in the moment and see that there's no possibility of there going to be another challenge in sight. But I would say watch this space, and we're here to hold their hand, as it were.
Well, what I would say is that the work that we did in the intensive, I think, opened up a level of honesty and truth. And in that space, whatever needs to be healed and resolved is going to show up. And so as much as they ended on a high note, they also created a space for truth to come in. And there were still things that were unresolved at this point that we hadn't addressed.
Yeah, and that truth isn't always going to be that friendly or that comfortable. And so, yeah, there's still work to be done here.
Yeah, growth in consciousness isn't always comfortable. It usually rarely is.
That's true. And you know, and as I see it, growth in consciousness really comes, it's like resistance training. We're not going to really learn unless we come up against challenge. So I think it would be foolish or folly to think that, you know, we're going to go through the rest of our lives without challenge and not come up against that resistance.
Absolutely.
And that's our growing edge.
So to be continued, more to come. And also, Angus and I are going to be doing some Ask Us Anything podcast episodes. And so we invite you to send us your questions about the podcast, about relationships in general, or anything else that you'd like to know. And you can send them in to us via email at info@therewilders.org, info@therewilders.org. Or if you'd like to send in your question anonymously, we have a voicemail that you can leave your questions on.
And I would encourage you, if you have any really difficult questions, to address them to Rohini.
The voicemail number is 424-272-6497. That's 424-272-6497. And if you leave it on the voicemail, we could also include your voice in the podcast. So that would be kind of nice. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know more about what you're getting out of the series, but we definitely want to make sure that we're answering any questions that you have.
Oh, that's wonderful. Not much more to be said at this point.
All right. Until the next time.
Catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Rewilding Love. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know by subscribing on iTunes, and we would love for you to leave a review there.
iTunes reviews will steer people to this podcast who need help with their relationships.
If you would like to learn more about our work and our online rewilding community, please visit our website, therewilders.org.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week.